The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show, Monday, April 23rd, 2018. I am Seth Leibson. Our phone number is 602-508-0960. In a few moments, I want to talk to you a little bit about why I think the political culture may be turning just a little bit towards our favor, just a little bit. First, a couple of other pieces I wanted to get out. It looks right now like we have a death toll of 9 in Toronto from the van attack on civilians. We don't have a motive yet, though we do have a name of a suspect in Alec Manassian. Police are saying we're looking for motive. We don't have one just yet. I gave a little talk on that in the first hour. If you missed it, you can always go to 960thepatriot.com. to hear anything that's been broadcast on this show anytime. If you have friends who say they like the show but they're working during the time, they can hear it at their leisure, commercial-free actually, at 960thepatriot.com anytime they like. If they're out of town, as some people said to me, they live in Tucson over the weekend. I was at the CAP dinner, the Center for Arizona Policy dinner on Saturday night. A couple people said, well, we're in Tucson. We don't get it. No, you can get it on the app. You can get it through your computer, and you can get it on the Patriot app on your smartphone. Very easy to do. Just do a search for 960 The Patriot. It comes right up. It's free. And you can get it anywhere your heart desires, whether it's Tucson or Tucumcari or Tehachapi or Tonopah. You can get it anywhere you want. We should probably go out with that song, Tucson to Tucumcari. It's called Willin. Yes, that's what it's called. So we'll keep you updated on the Toronto story. It does look, I'm getting a notice here that former President George H.W. Bush has been admitted into intensive care. Our hearts and thoughts go to him, and we'll keep you posted on his condition. He has been through a lot, obviously, emotionally lately with the passing of his wife, and he, of course, has been in some ill health for some time. So best thoughts to the Bush family. That does segue a little bit into something I wanted to get into about whether the culture is shifting just a little bit our way, at least temporarily. And I'll do that in a moment. I first have to mention this story that really bothers me. You know, it's interesting, actually. Mark Stein, who many of you like, know of, watch, read. Stein Online is his website where he posts all his columns. He's a frequent guest on the Tucker Carlson Show when he's not a frequent guest host on the Tucker Carlson Show. He's also guest host on other shows. You never know who's listening. You never know who's listening, which is why I like to remind people that we don't have a local show. We are local hosts, the national show. Mark Stein, in his latest column, quoted us from some stuff we said on our show, which was very nice of him to do. And one of the things he quoted me as saying, I mean, it's not a tremendous insight. I would hope all of us say it, but in relation to a specific story about Mark, I said, I hate bullies, which is true. I hope all of us hate bullies. Bullies are terrible things. Which is why I hate what's being done or what was recently done to, I think, a very brave student out of Parkland, Florida, Kyle Kashuv. He is the student who takes the other position on gun rights. He is the student that has done his level best to defend the Second Amendment. He is the student who actually will debate people who don't agree with him. He has offered to debate David Hogg. He has debated who's the British guy who used to be on CNN, the anti-gun activist? Blanking on his name. Everyone knows who I'm thinking. Yeah, Piers Morgan. Thank you, Bill. Gosh, you have a great mind. You have a memory like a steel bear trap. You really do. It's great. Never leave my side. I need you with me all the time. As you get older, you lose these things, and God love you. Stay young, Bill. Kyle Kashuv has debated Piers Morgan and others, but a lot of the mainstream media gave him a news block out because he didn't represent the narrative they were trying to promote. So he is, I believe, Kyle is 17, and he went, it's incredible, over the weekend, he, with his dad, went to a shooting range. I guess Kyle had not been to a shooting range before. Kyle was an intellectual defender of the Second Amendment, not a experienced defender of the Second Amendment in the sense of having shot guns before. And he went to a shooting range with his dad, learned how to shoot some guns, tweeted about it, put those Twitter posts up. That's a tautology. He tweeted about it, which means he put those Twitter posts up. Goes to school Monday morning. I guess he's a senior there. And the principal calls him in. The principal calls him in to tell him that a lot of people were upset by his tweets. His tweets are very innocuous. I'm looking at them now. His tweets said, it was great learning about our inalienable right of the Second Amendment and how to properly use a gun. This was my first time ever touching a gun, and it made me appreciate the Constitution even more. My instructor was informative. I learned a lot. 2A is important, and we need to preserve 2A, 2A being the Second Amendment. Is there anything in there to be offended by? I mean, that's just a very fact-based tweet. I mean, it's as neutral as they come. So the principal calls him in and says fellow students and administrators were disturbed by what he tweeted. He insisted he hadn't done anything wrong. By the middle of the morning, he was asked by the principal near the end of his third period to go see a Mr. Greenleaf. He didn't know who Mr. Greenleaf was, but he was an armed school resource officer, an SRO. Went down to his office. Then a second security officer walked in and sat behind me. Both began questioning me intensely. First, they began berating my tweet, although neither of them had read it. Then they began aggressively asking questions about who I went to the range with, whose gun was used, and about my father. His father is who we went to the gun range with. They were incredibly condescending and rude. Now, it's entirely possible these SROs didn't know much about Kashuv because the media had done a good blackout on him. No doubt they know who David Hogg is because the media loved him. He's been gone, thankfully, for a while. But still, the SROs should have known who Kashuv was because presumably trained officers don't get their information from CNN, but actually from doing their homework and their research. Guess what? Two SROs weren't enough to question Kashuv. A third officer from the Broward County Sheriff's Office walked in and began asking, quote, Kashuv telling the story, and began asking me the same questions again. At that point, I asked whether I could record the interview. They said no. I asked if I had done anything wrong. Again, they said no. I asked why I was there, and one said, quote, don't get snappy with me. Do you not remember what happened here a few months ago? Well, what a stupid thing to ask him. They continued to question me aggressively, though they could cite nothing I had done wrong. I was shocked and honestly scared. It definitely felt like they were attempting to intimidate me. I was treated like a criminal for no reason, other than having gone to a legal gun range and posted on social media about it. Well, when you hear me talk about our constitutional rights being under assault, whether they are the First Amendment or other amendments, here's an example. Here's an example. Perfectly normal activity for a father and son to engage in. One would hope, in fact, that a young man who learns about guns and tries to use and takes, you know, shooting lessons would do so with his father. That is a good, if you are a family that believes in that, so that you know, believes in training your kids with the safety of firearms, that is a good way to do it, for a father and son to go to a shooting range with an instructor. To be punished for that, to be intimidated for that, to have three cops question you away from school, away from class, to intimidate you for exercising a right, this is an assault. It's an intellectual and constitutional assault. And it's a shame, but I give you the times. Be right back. Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. I am Seth Leibson. Is that part of our regular rotation? Yeah, good. It's been a while since we heard it. I want to tell you a story about two celebrities, two recording artists, Shania Twain and Kanye West. One took the adage from Flannery O'Connor importantly or seriously. You have to push as hard against the age that pushes against you, as Flannery O'Connor put it, and one did not. One will be in ever more trouble because she caved. The one who is pushing as hard as the age that pushes against him and not caving, Kanye, will not be in trouble. That is my prediction. Watch this when we get into it in just a moment. First, I want to go to Deborah in Phoenix, who's calling on the line because callers always take precedence. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk with you.
Well, the reason why I'm calling is because, as everyone's well aware of, tomorrow is our special election. And we've been noticing some disconcerting things that are leading up to it. We've all seen the ad about Tip Bernini is going to be cleaning up Washington and not be a part of the same old system. And yet, the Let's Go signs have been taken and vandalized to where there's nothing left but Tip Bernini signs.
So this is the special election being held tomorrow in Congressional District 8.
Yes.
Where Harold Tipernini, the Democrat, is running for office to take the congressional seat against Debbie Lesko, the Republican. We've had Debbie on several times. We are pushing hard for not just her victory, but for her very substantial victory tomorrow. I have heard reports of this and have received emails of this, that there has been a vandalization of signs, of Lesko signs. You live in CD8. You've seen it.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. What we've seen is the signs have been, the ones that were in the ground were snapped off and totally taken away. Ones that are pushed in the ground are gone within less than 24 hours. So that basically it looks like the whole area is pulling for Tip Bernini, when in fact all the Lesko signs are being sold and there's none, stolen, and there's none left for us to put out. So to me, this doesn't sound like somebody that wants to clean up Washington. This sounds like same old from the left, because they're being taken away. And, you know, that's just, to me, is rotten, because they have nothing to bring to the table, so they steal the signs to look like their support.
It's not just rotten, it's criminal, literally a
yes.
criminal act.
Agree.
It's every state, and I believe also in federal law, in a federal election, to deface this kind of politicking is indeed illegal. And it's also an assault on free speech. The left,
Absolutely.
The Democrats, have a lot of answering to do when it comes to their assault on the First Amendment, not to mention other ones, but this is an example of an assault on it, Deborah. This
yes,
is an example of
absolutely.
An assault on it. If anyone sees such defacement taking place, I hope they can take a picture and give it to the police. That would be the right thing to do. I do not want to encourage any form of confrontation or vigilantism, but take it to the police.
Certainly.
And let's get the word out that this is how the Democrats play.
Well, yes, it's exactly how they roll, because, like I said, within less than 24 hours, they're gone and they're broken off at the ground level.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they are, the Democrats are depending on the fact that we on the right are honest, law-abiding citizens.
Of course.
So we're not going to do anything to their sign.
Of course.
They're going to be left high and mighty, you know.
And let us state here that we won't do anything to their signs.
Oh, absolutely not.
Right.
No.
Right.
No way.
Absolutely.
But that's what they depend on. We'll be honest. They don't have to be.
That's correct. What are you hearing, Deborah, outside of what you're reporting? What are you hearing as far as the victory tomorrow evening, which we'll know about once the polls close? I imagine it'll be a little bit after this show,
right.
So we'll report the good news Wednesday morning. But you hearing that
right.
Turnout is going to be big? Are you hearing that Lesko is going to cross that line in a big way, or what's it looking like?
Well, I think for sure, like you said, Lesko will take that line and go over it successfully. And I think the main thing is that she has been a proven leader. And when this whole process started, the first one out of the chute, Piperini was hitting with attack ads. And I think Debbie has got the higher road here, and the people of Arizona know and trust her.
Yeah, one of the reasons I have no doubt, and when you look at the numbers that have gone in as far as the apps, as far as the mailed in ballots go, Deborah, it's an assured Lesko win. I just want it to be a very large Lesko win so that we can bury this narrative, which keeps coming up and keeps coming up as so ridiculous. You know, you have heard me now say umpteen times that I don't believe in the narrative that there is a blue or a Democratic wave coming in these midterm elections. I don't believe it because I don't know what the issue is. I don't know what the issue is because the Democratic Party keeps throwing up various ones that just seem seem like small ball, that seem ridiculous, and that keep boomeranging on them. If they're not criticizing the tax cut for being too small, their solution is to get rid of all tax cuts. In other words, the tax cut is too small, so let's raise everyone's taxes. It's like the old joke, the old couple at the Catskills, right? The husband says, man, the food here is terrible. And the wife says, I know, and such small portions too, right? I mean, that's about where we're at with them when it comes to taxes. If it's not taxes, which don't work for them, then they're complaining about the census asking about citizenship as if there's some other way to ask about citizenship. That doesn't work for them. So now what are we down to? We're down to basically we are now down to raiding Donald Trump's personal attorney's attorney-client privileged material to find out about a one-night stand that may or may not have taken place in 2006. That's where the Democrats are right now. They are a party looking for an issue, which is exactly where you don't want to be. Usually parties form around a set of issues. The Democratic Party is without an issue today. It is a party in search of an issue. It's a party in search of the reason for its existence.
Right. And as you say, they're looking for an issue, and because they found none, they make it up as they go. And I've heard people say, I didn't elect President Trump to be my pastor. I elected him to be my president and a strong supporter of America, and that's what we've got.
Yeah, that is what we've got, and I'm sorry they don't like it. They can change it. There are, you know, democratic processes for that. But at a certain point, this is kind of a big point, Deborah, at a certain point, that's another reason I don't expect to see a blue wave in the midterms. I think the general population is just a little sick and tired of the small ball the Democrats are playing. I mean, all of this is just getting tiresome. When you go from collusion with Putin to a one-night stand with Stormy Daniels, all under the same investigation, you know you're just not a serious people, or you're a very luxuriated people that can afford to engage in this kind of ridiculousness, none of which is anything that predicts a political victory. I'm Seth Leibson. Deborah, thank you. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. I am Seth Leibson, and it looks I was just slowing my cadence down a little bit because I was looking at these calls. Yeah, okay, we'll go right to them. That's fine. I'll get to my celebrity thing in a moment. Bob is in Phoenix. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Hey, Seth. It just occurred to me that with all the hothead tension with all these kids that are actually becoming of age to vote, that's a distinct possibility, don't you think, that they might, really maybe put a dent? They're just going to vote left no matter what.
Now help me out, Bob. The kids turning 18 are going to vote left no matter what?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That might be the surprise, Democratic vote.
Okay.
That we're not anticipating, I guess.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, have you spent a lot of time with a bunch of 18 or 19-year-olds lately?
No, but I was at a doctor's office the other day, and they asked me my birth date, and I said 2-1-51, and they go, "Is that 2051?" So,
did you get another doctor?
No. They just luckily this person is a receptionist and not a actually has anything to do with medicine.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're about 18 or 19, and that's what's so scary, see?
Okay. All right. Well,
maybe even a little older than that.
The usual thing is, it's a funny history, this age of 18 and voting thing. Of course, it didn't happen until, what full election was it then it happened? Was it 68 or 74? 1974? 72, I mean, 1972. It was 1972. And they voted for Nixon, you know. It was a funny thing. And nowadays what we see is that the youth may talk a good game, but they just don't show up in the numbers that end up making such a critical difference. Now, I would like to be able to appeal to those in their 20s and 30s when people start taking these things just a little bit more seriously and do start showing up in larger and larger numbers. But
right.
I'm not afraid of it, and I think, you know, Republicans would do well to spend more time on campuses where they're welcome and where they're not welcome, to force laws that require campuses to abide by the First Amendment so that they can be welcome. I want candidates not to be afraid of two groups, Bob, and I hope it's just not too much to ask. And the two groups I want Republican candidates not to be afraid of are A, the media, and B, Democrats. You know, you got to be able to make your case to people who don't agree with you, and you got to be able to face a hostile media. If you can't, then don't get into politics. You're not going to win. You're not going to win.
Right. I got one other little, just a quick thing. On my phone, I have a dictionary and I utilize old English dictionary as well as the American Collegiate.
Okay. Sounds like I'm about to be told I did something wrong.
No. I do it on purpose because the definitions have definitely changed of things. From what the origins were to what they've kind of been slanted to in today's age. And one prime example is when they talk about this perfect utopia, if you look back at where it came from, Socrates and the boys, when confronted with that term, they said there's no such place.
Right.
It was never written down in any type of a definition.
Right.
There's no such place.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely right, so, Bob.
Yeah. But anyway, keep up the battle. And,
thank you, brother. Yeah, be not afraid. You know, don't be afraid of Democrats. Don't be afraid of youth. And don't be afraid of media. These are the people we got to convince, you know? We're not just going to win with our own base. We cannot do it. We got to expand. We got to constantly be expanding. Andrew is in Phoenix. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Seth.
Hi.
What an honor. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
First off, let me reassure Bob. I'm doing my darndest to make sure my kids are raised properly. So,
how do you do that, Andrew?
I don't think he has any...
How do you do it?
You know what? it's a lot of conservative principles and a lot of rational explanation of religion and practical applications.
Are there any particular books you ensure that your kids have read?
Are you kidding? Getting anyone to read these days?
or yourself, right?
Well, yeah, I squeeze a book in every chance I get, which, as I was joking around a couple days ago, is a few pages every couple days.
It's hard. I know. We are so bombarded. It's hard.
Yeah, but, I mean, it doesn't change the fact that, you know, reasonable, rational thought
is
applicable book or no book.
Yeah.
I certainly recommend them, and I hope it sinks in. But, you know, kids, you never know when they're listening.
You bet. You know why? Because they always are listening. They're always listening. I think that's the thing we need to keep in mind. They're always watching. They're always listening. I really do, especially as their minds are developing. I think adults need to keep that in mind more often. I just do.
No, absolutely. You are absolutely spot on that one. Hey, the real reason I called is you, speaking of parenting, you got my hairs on the back of my neck standing up. I always like to see bullies get their comeuppance just like everybody else. And if those police officers were interrogating that Carl Kashuv kid, and he's still a minor, they're in trouble.
Are they?
You're not allowed to interrogate a minor without a parent present.
I think you are, Andrew. I think it's a state by in Arizona. I think you are. I mean, obviously, once you've made the Miranda warnings and the arrest, that's different. But I think you are allowed to question a minor without a parent in most jurisdictions. I think you are. I'm willing to be corrected. Okay. Do you know differently for a fact?
I really would love to dispute you, but alas, I was raised.
Well, I don't mean to make it an issue of dispute. I just think I think police can question a minor without a parent present. I think they can.
No, and if it's a state by state issue, then you could very well be right.
Okay.
We could both be right.
Yeah. The fact is, this kid should not have been questioned with or without a parent at all for what he did. That's the true assault here.
Without a doubt, but if it's something his parents can weigh in on and really take it to him.
I'd like the world to weigh in on it. I would like the world to weigh in on this one. It's offensive. I got to go to a break, Andrew. God love you. Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. I'm Seth Leibson. Our phone number is 602-508-0960. Based on, or apropos, I guess, or relevant to that call we had from, I think it was Deborah in Phoenix reporting on the Democratic or leftist antics in CD 8 of defacing signs of Debbie Lesko's. This is a new kind of guerrilla warfare of the left that we haven't seen a lot of in a very long time. It is on the upswing. It is on the uptick. And there can be different kinds of intimidation and different kinds of political squelching of speech. Certainly having three cops armed detain. And let's not dress it up. That's what they did. Detain Kyle Kashuv of the Parkland high school student to question him about going to a shooting range over the weekend with his dad and a gun instructor, for goodness sakes. Going after him for that is a way to squelch speech. It's an intimidation. But there are other intimidations of the left. And chief lobbyist for the NRA, a guy named Chris Cox, story is breaking now that protesters outside of his home in the Washington, D.C. area, some are now being arrested for defacing his home, for engaging in criminal activity, spraying fake blood on his house, and obviously interceding or impeding traffic in front of his house. You know, some man, I don't know, but it is a citizen simply engaged in completely normal constitutional activity. He is a spokesman for an organization that the left doesn't like, the organization dedicated to the defense of a constitutional provision, the Second Amendment. Goodness gracious, if you can't debate them, I guess you just intimidate them and shut them down. That is the mark of the left. That is the mark of tyranny. And that is the mark of our age. As I say, we have to push back against it. We have to push back against it by highlighting it, by exposing it, and by having a better argument where we are not intimidating. Chris Cox is someone who is not intimidated. He goes on the TV shows and he debates these things. Apropos a call I had earlier with, was it Bob in Phoenix? I think it was. How do you approach the youth? Well, two things. Know that they're always watching and they're always learning, as Andrew and I were talking about. You know, we were talking and said, well, when they're paying attention, the truth is they're always paying attention. They're always paying attention. But don't be intimidated by any of this stuff. Just don't be intimidated by it. Once you're intimidated, you're done, which is the segue I wanted to make as between Kanye West and Shania Twain. So let's start with Shania Twain, someone I have admired very much for her personal story, her overcoming of several struggles, and her sheer talent. I think she's very talented. I love the question, what's your favorite concert you ever went to? And I ask that of a lot of people when I meet them for a first time. It's a nice conversation starter or silence breaker. And the answer in my case, I think one of the answers has to be a Shania Twain concert I once went to. It's in the fourth row. It was a great concert. In any event, she's been out of the public eye. So she, for a while, having had a tremendous career, I think she's one of the top selling female musical artists of all time. And by top, I mean, I think top three, top five, something like that. That album, Come On Over, was just such a tremendous hit. In any event, she's interviewed by The Guardian newspaper, British newspaper, The Guardian, about her life, where she is, recovery of some throat surgery she was engaged in. And she's asked in the interview who she would have voted for in 2016 if she voted in America. And she says Trump. Shania Twain said Trump, quote, I would have voted for him because even though he was offensive, he seemed honest. She went on to say that if she were voting, she didn't want BS. I would have voted for a feeling that it was transparent, and politics has a reputation of not being that, right? Okay. I mean, you know, a lot of people have said things like that. They looked at the two candidates and they went with the one who seemed to be more honest, the one who wasn't BSing, even though he was offensive. We've heard that. You've heard that. This is not an out of the ordinary thing to say about why you might have voted for Trump over Hillary. It's just not. Well, the backlash had her retract it, and she retracted it. Folks, you can't do this. You will never be able to apologize enough. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. She had to put up not one, not two, not three, not four, five tweets backtracking on saying she would have voted for Trump. First tweet, quote, I would like to apologize to anybody I have offended in a recent interview with the Guardian relating to the American president. The question caught me off guard. I regret answering this unexpected question without giving my response more context. What response? What context? Why do you regret this? What's to regret? What's to regret? You know, I will tell you something. Shania's base voted for Trump. You can play the Dixie Chicks here if you want that, but that's the way you go, the way of the dodo bird, in more ways than one. I'll tell you a little more about what she said, and then I'll tell you another music artist who is taking it seriously, Kanye West, and not backing down. Who would have thought he would have been the more serious person here? I wouldn't have. O tempore, o mores. Gosh, sometimes you just kind of want to listen to that for a long time, don't you? Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. If you want to follow me on Twitter, my handle is at Seth Leibson. I'd love to get more. I'd love to get 15 Twitter followers before the end of the show. That would be fun. 15 more Twitter followers at Seth Leibson, L-E-I-B-S-O-H-N is my last name. the Shania Twain thing is absolutely ridiculous. She was asked a question. She answered it. The question was, who would you have voted for? She said Donald Trump, because I think he was the more honest of the politicians. She now has had to apologize in 5 tweets, saying such ridiculous things as, I'm passionately against discrimination. I was trying to explain that my limited understanding was that the president talked to a portion of America. My answer was awkward, but certainly not should not be taken as representative of my values, nor does it mean I endorse him. I make music to bring people together. My path will always be one of inclusivity, as my history shows. Goodness gracious, Shania, you're better than this. I do not hold any common moral beliefs with the current president. Of course she does. Of course she does. You can't say I don't hold any of moral beliefs, don't share any moral beliefs with the president. I mean, she's just using the greatest language she can summon to deny the basic thing that she said, which I'm sure was truthful when she said it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. She is talented enough and in a genre of music enough that supports Trump enough that she doesn't have to do this. It's just kind of a shame to see the culture beat down people. I hate it, such that they have to surrender. Well, don't surrender. Kanye West is not surrendering. This is the other angle here. This is the other side of this. So Kanye West stood up for a YouTube personality by the name of Candace Owen. Maybe you've seen her stuff on Prager University. Maybe you've seen her videos elsewhere. She's a black woman who's a conservative, and he tweeted, I love the way Candace Owen thinks. He went on a radio show in New York saying, I stand by and I stand with Donald Trump. He's not backing down. And the reasons why are really instructive. And I'll tell you why. There's the music. When we come back, that's a tease. All right. Culture and politics here on this Eth and Chris show. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. Or at Seth Leibson on Twitter if you want to follow me before and after hours. Be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.